Welcome. Welcome to our main event. We are live on Miracle TV, Miracle TV Africa, Miracle TV Asia, Miracle TV Arab World, Miracle TV India, and we are also on 596 channel. Sky Television when it comes to Europe. We are also on Apple, of course, Apple and Android, Amazon, Freeview. We are on a lot of platforms, and of course, our sons and daughters around the world and partners in ministry are also broadcasting this on their own channel. So you better share it with somebody. Facebook, in fact, we are on Atomgram, the best platform. So a lot of things are taking place. And today we are dealing with this subject called the doctrine of repentance. It's one of those things that need to be really taught, because it seems as if everybody has become a teacher of a teacher. And with the emergence of social media and also the rise in all these apps that anybody can broadcast, it gives nobody a chance to grow in the things of God. Because anybody can just rise and become a teacher and a corrector of others. So it is really, really paramount that we actually get deep in this doctrine. And so you better watch and tell somebody I'm live right now. You can actually put the share button in and everybody can actually know that we are live teaching this very, very important. I'm talking to you. This is crucial subject in Christianity. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter number 5 and we start from there and we can be very quick. I think this service will be maybe 20 minutes prophetically. 20 minutes, we are done. All right. Now. Hebrews 5, verse number 12. And I want you to listen to it carefully.
Yes. Verse number 12. Mm-hmm. For when for the time you ought to be teachers.
For the time you ought to be teachers.
You have need that one teach you again.
And the word there is ophelo. It means a duty, a must. It's a time you must be teachers. All right.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Teach you again. Which
you have need. You have need. The word there, need, is the word that means deficit or debt. That means you are in debt. You ought to fix something. There is something lacking in your life. At a time, you must be. It is a duty that is imparted on you. You actually have to. There is no other way. All right.
Yes, sir. You need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God.
And the word teach you again, or rather the word principles or first is the word arike, which means the beginning of it. It is not so much the kindergarten stage. It's like when you get to Africa, we have something called grade one, in standard, I think it's year one here, but you have a certain level of kindergarten. So if you look at it this way, it says, for when, for the time you have a duty to be teachers, you have need, you lack in something. All right, yes, that won't teach you again, which is the arikes, the beginning, but not the kindergarten. Then the word principle is actually the word kindergarten. That means you have to get into a certain stage, but before you get there, you have to be in kindergarten stage. That means before you begin to be hot and say you are big in ministry and you understand principles, there are principles you can't live out. Those ones are important to learn before you start saying you are a general. Oh, I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Is it for you to actually correct the body? You actually need to love the body.
Amen. Come on.
That's why those who correct the body never judges the Christians. Never judge the Christians. The ones who really love the church will never judge the church. I don't know if they're getting this. Now watch what it says here. But I want you to see something that I left out deliberately. If you notice, I did not translate the word teacher. It is the word didaskaloi, which means to be the rabbi. It is the word used for rabbi. So the Bible is saying there is a time, palosia krandos. There is a time where Christians ought to be respected and be taken as rabbis. It says we are at that level where we have gotten to teach you everything in Christianity. We have gone through everything. We have taught you this and taught you that and taught you this. You have gone to all conferences and churches. By now, Christ is saying you should be a rabbi. But it seems as if somebody ought to take you back to kindergarten. Because you became a rabbi by you know, when you say self-proclaimed men of God, self-proclaimed teacher, self-proclaimed prophet, self-proclaimed evangelist, self-proclaimed apostle. In other words, you are now proclaiming you are this without the foundation. So this is why it is important that I minister on this subject, the doctrine of repentance. It's not going to be a favorite. You know, when you have something on social media and you want likes, this is not the one for likes. this is not the one for likes. This one is just for mature people. So it's going to be really, really a little bit heavy. But I want you to get this and get this correctly. It says it this way. The time you ought to be rabbis. Imagine that Christ expects us to be called rabbis. Just you have attended service so much. You have gone to conferences. You have learned. You have gone to the Nephilim ministry sermons. You have gone to the Nicolaitans. You have learned all these things, but you still don't know the basics. And since you don't know the basics, we can't call you rabbi. Now, and a lot of theologians and a lot of pastors and rather theological pundits think they know what repentance is. You can hear preachers, big preachers, telling everybody, repent. And you wonder, do you understand what you're saying? If we understood what repentance is and we understood what forgiveness was, we would never see the things we are seeing in church today. And a lot of people, the moment you say repent, everyone knows what it is. So it's amazing that even the ones I'm ministering to, they already know. I know. Even some who are used to listening to us on video, watch us on video, watch us on TV, and listen to us on whatever platform they are listening. Listen, they even say today I'm not attending anything. I know what forgiveness is. And I know repentance. Trust me, you don't know. The reason why I had to teach it, because you don't know. We are given a certain mandate by the Lord that is beyond Daniel. To demystify mysteries, explain hard sentences. Now, watch this now. Are you hearing?
Yes,
hope some people are hearing. Now, let's go to the next verse. Yes.
And I become such as have need of milk and not strong meat.
That means you are unskillful. Mm-hmm. And have become as what?
Is of need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful.
Everyone that useth milk is unskillful. Now, it says unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, I don't know if you're getting this now. The babe we're talking about here is not your girlfriend. We're talking about real stuff of being a young kid in Christ. In the things of Christ. Now, let's go back to this. The word there is the word, the word we want to deal with is the word unskillful. It is the word apeiros. Apeiros means, solidified in the things that you learn. An expert. But remember, it's apeiros. Peiros means solidified. An expert in the subject. Somebody who is so skilled, they know how to use what they use. That to the extent that if they are an engineering peiros, they come out with the right solution at the end of the day. But the moment you get in the Greek and you see something with an A in the beginning, it simply means we have reversed it. It's now the negative. So the moment a word stands there and you put an A in the Greek, it means you have just gone the opposite. So when somebody is skillful, let's say in engineering and everything that they do, they use the equipment to the end. They come out with a real solution and an answer that is correct. In mathematics, you come up with the answer after working out an equation. That answer will not come out if we put an A. In other words, he is saying, you get to be rabbis if you understand all these things that we don't need to go back to the principles, to the things, to the kindergarten. You mature in a certain level of doctrines. When you get there, you come up with the right solution. So in other words, when you are a babe in Christ, everything you are going to do will come out as a solution, but that solution is evil solution. It's an answer or a solution to an equation, but it really, you know, in mathematics you can come up with any answer. You'll be wrong, but there is an answer. Yeah, we used to do that at school. You just work out something and then come up with 595. It's not the answer, but the answer I've put it there. Why? Because I've done some of the calculations that are wrong. So when most people who are now on stage with pambas on, in diapers, trying to teach men and women of God that are generals in the kingdom. Some were even big in ministry, but they've reduced themselves to little babies. Shouting at generals, correcting generals. At one time they were generals. Respected, well respected. But because they have become unskillful in the use of the word, they deliberately looked for scriptures and then tried to work out what they mean. And they came up with an answer. If you sit them down, they will tell you this is the answer to it. Then you tell them you worked it out all wrong. That's what the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. A man who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you notice, it did not say rightly multiplying the word of truth. Dividing. Because division mathematics is the only branch in mathematics where if you divide any number with any number, you come up with equal portions. So you have to devote enough time to this and enough time, in fact, equal time to every part of it. Not you are very good at prophecy 200%, but your teaching is 5%. You have not rightly divided the word of truth. That's why you see prophets still acting like in the Old Testament. Because they did not balance the word of truth. All right, so we're still kind of getting to the doctrine of repentance. In a few minutes, we'll be there. Trust me. Let's go. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice the Bible did not say to discern good from evil. Both good and evil. Now, we're going to deal with it. But let's deal with, you understand we're coming from Hebrews 5. Let's go to Hebrews 6, verse number 1. I want you to see something there.
Verse number 1.
Notice we say it here. The first principles, the arikas. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's mm-hmm. right. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection.
Now, leaving the what?
The principles of the doctrine of
the
Christ.
The arikas. Of the doctrines of Christ.
Uh-huh. Let us go on unto perfection.
And the word there that talks about go on into perfection, it is a word that means to be carried along, to be transported to another level. So if we don't leave these arikas, we won't be transported to another level. But there are people in the church today who have transported themselves to this level without understanding the doctrine. So therefore, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Now, that means repentance is a foundation. You can't build your house in the air. It is to come back to this. If you have not learned what repentance is or how to repent, what it is and what it is not. But for you to understand repentance, you ought to understand forgiveness. Because there is a reason for repentance is to get forgiveness. Here is where we have a problem. And the word repent is the word metanoia. Metanoia, noia is a word from the word nous, which is a word that means to. It's a mental thing. It is a dialogismo and nous. We're talking about a kind of analytical thing in the mind. It's a component of the mind that deals with vision, understanding, analyzing things. And the word meta means changing. So it is changing the way you analyze. That's the word repentance. Wow. now, when you get to the church, people say, repent. Confess your sins now. And they don't want you to confess to God. They want to confess to them. On TV and on Google. And on YouTube. Because I looked at these Nigerian guys that are there. And that are fighting men of God and say, repent. He needs to repent. What if he repented last night? How would you know? Then you realize they are not interested in repentance. They are interested in gathering viewership on YouTube so they get money. Because if you also repented, and the men of God you are fighting maybe repented just like you, why are you still talking? Because we didn't see where you repented. You just told us you did. Maybe the man of God did it. Maybe this woman of God repented also, like you. So why are you still talking? Then you realize it's a money. Pay-per-click adverts. That's all. But the church is so stupid. People are so stupid. When I say the church, I'm talking about what is called the church. I'm not talking about the body of Christ is the body of Christ. I'm talking about what is seen as the church in these days. People who follow blindly. Said yes, these people need to repent. They are the cause of the destruction of Nigeria. Well, my point is, why can't you do that to an imam? Mm-hmm. Why not talk about Boko Haram? You know by evening they will Boko Haram you. So somehow you definitely know who to touch. Because you have realized that they really don't respond. They have the love of Christ. They're expecting you to repent, so you fight them. Anyway. I've seen it. All right. Are you getting it now?
Yes, sir.
So it says there's a need for you to repent. But what is repentance? It says learn to repent. Look at it first and say, this is it. You see. Anyways. Whosoever has repented will not fight those who haven't repented. Because they know it also takes time that they took time. It's the same thing. Whosoever is a father will never oppose those with fathers. Whosoever has no father will oppose other fathers. So easy to oppose your father if you don't have a father. You didn't hear that. If you have a father, you'll just know what a father is. Are you getting it now?
Yes, sir.
But I want to start on this wise. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the start.
We're ready.
For you to understand repentance. Now, but before we go there, let's look at this. Hebrews 6, right? Yes. It says, verse number 2.
Yes, sir. On the doctrine of baptism.
It says, of the doctrine.
And of laying on of hands.
Let's go back to 2 again.
Verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptism.
That means these are doctrines. That means repentance is a doctrine. It says, let us go. Then it says, repentance, doctrine of baptisms. Notice. Wow. It does not say doctrine of baptism. It says of baptisms. Whoa. That means plural. There are many. Whoa. And you thought it was one. It says there are doctrines. Now, imagine you're already calling yourself Bishop so-and-so. Archbishop, you don't even know their baptisms. Let's go.
And of laying on of hands.
It's not laying on of hands. Notice what it says. It says there is a doctrine of laying on of hands. No. Not praying for the sick. A whole doctrine. It's not a practice. It's not called the practice. No. This is a doctrine of laying on of hands. It's a whole class by itself. You can go for years learning the doctrine of laying on of hands. Wow. And you're already teaching. You're already telling us our generals are not men of God. Do you see how they skipped the school and just went straight to being perfect? So there are doctrines here you are living out. Before we go anywhere, let's know this. This is the foundation you have to know. Before you get this, don't talk. Shut up. That's what he's saying here. Mm-hmm. And of what?
And of resurrection.
There's
of
a doctrine
the
of the resurrection. A whole doctrine of resurrection. Maybe people don't really get what I'm trying to say, you know? Are you getting it? Maybe some people are really, really, you know. Now, if I look at it now, watch this now. So the word doctrine is the word didache, all right? It means an act of, which is a teaching, a series concerning something which is taught. I don't know if you're getting this. It means we're talking about something that is a volume, a whole lot of information concerning that subject. It's like a department of resurrection. You get in there, in the department of resurrection, you see a manager, you see assistant manager, you see the workers, you see. That's what he's talking about. See, there is a branch. It didn't say understand resurrection. It says the doctrine of. All right, let's go.
And of eternal judgment.
That means there is eternal judgment, a doctrine. But the people have already gone far. They know too much now. I don't know if you are getting this, right?
Yes,
of course, then he says, this we will do if God permit. He says, not laying again the doctrine of. Now, are you getting it?
Oh, yes, sir.
Somebody's getting it. Somebody's getting it right now.
Eric D. on YouTube is saying, this is hard saying, not meant for baby Christians. I love it. And I'm now holding on to it in my spirit. And I'm blessed knowing who I follow. I love you, prophet.
Thank you so much. Now, watch this now. The reason why we do the service the way we do is because we want to kind of be a church where, because we are online right now, is where you can actually interact with us. We see where you are missing it, and that's why we answer questions. And just, you know, when I'm minister, some people will just take a clip and say, do you see, he's responding to these Nigerian guys. No, I'm... Why is he preaching about people? Every preaching is about people. If I leave here without preaching about you, don't come back. Because that's what I should do. No, but there is a difference here in understanding. There is a difference in opposing and trying to help the church. Now, watch this now. Watch this. Here is what it says. It's talking about we should move on to a certain level where we understand the principles of Christ, the doctrine, the foundational doctrines before we go to maturity. Just imagine when I start teaching right now about repentance. You figure out you didn't know it. Then you start thinking, why was I thinking I was mature? When the Bible says don't go to maturity before this. But notice it is possible to carry yourself to maturity before understanding foundation. Notice that you are not in... Okay. I don't know if you're getting this.
Yes, sir.
When I was doing martial arts, we had people that would come from other... They were called dojos, and they're still called dojos. And I did a certain martial arts called Shotokan to start with. Then I did Taekwondo. Then I went Tai Chi. Then I did the Wing Chun. And I've got a second Dan black belt. Now, when I was in there, the thing was, you would get to, some people would come from another dojo to join your dojo. And what they would just do is bring a certificate, again, fax the certificate, and say, here it is, the certificate. I came from so and so dojo, and I have this brown belt. So because the lecturers at that time, rather we call them in Kung Fu, we call them Sifu, you know, and you they would just say, okay, because they wanted money. In karate, they are called sensei. They wanted money. It's a school, so they want money. If they don't accept you, you go. So they would just say, okay, is that the certificate? Okay, do you have a letter of recommendation to say this is your... Say, yeah. That's it. The guy wouldn't call. Because if he called, the person would say, no, he's not in this class. So they would come from yellow belt, lie that they were brown belt where they were. The only time it would be proven is when we do what was called grading. Now, to move from brown to black now, it wasn't just a walk in the park like this. You have to fight. Now, that's when people would be kicked. You would see teeth from the cheek. And you wonder, brother, were you in there? you understand? So there are so many people that have told us they are mature. It's only when they grab the mic, you see their pampers fall off. Their diapers fall off and you wonder, were you what you wear? So there is a certain level of maturity that they pretended they are at. They left out some gaps here. Oh yeah, I know. We are still on doctrine of repentance.
Let's go.
So they went on to maturity before they dealt with the principles of Christ. The foundational doctrines, they left them. They have no idea what it is. First of all, repentance. For you to understand repentance, you have to understand forgiveness. Oh, now see here. This is where we get all these kind of people around the world not understanding this. And I'm going to deal with something that is very, very profound. Are we supposed to confess our sins? Are we supposed to... What are we supposed to do? Do we pray and say, God, forgive me for my sin? Do we... All these kind of things. Now, why should we understand forgiveness if we have to understand repentance? Because the mere purpose of repentance is for us to be forgiven. But for us to get that, we also have to understand something here. Christians were not forgiven. All right. Now, you can tell when people... I can even hear online. I wish it had all these speakers and I would hear you. Immediately you have people who say, we forgive. Christ forgave us of our sins. He never did. Imagine I'm in, I don't know what shop, Harrods. I go to Harrods and I get, let's say, to Rolex or Richard Mille, whatever that is. And I owe them money for a watch. They say, brother, this is the guy who took a watch here and never came back. Let's say it was possible to do so. And they take me to court. What happens there at the court? While I'm standing there and judge is standing there, a guy walks in and says, I will pay for the watch he owes and the whatever the interest. How much? Oh, how much was your Richard Mille? Ah, 1 million. Okay, I'll pay 1.2 million with the interest. Now, I want to ask one question. Have I paid for the Rolex watch? Yes, I have. Just not my money. So the idea is we suffered for our sins. We paid for them. It's just Jesus did it on our behalf. No, you didn't get it. Well, I don't know if you understand. So the reality is we actually paid for these sins. Oh, you see. Have you ever seen UJ looking sharp? Sia looking sharp. I paid for those suits.
Oh, yes. It's true.
But reality is, I put the money in his account. So he paid. Are you telling me that all your house, when you pay rent, is the company that you work for that paid for it? No, it's you. Because the money was given to you. No, you see where people miss it. So people say, oh, we're free. No. Salvation was never free. I don't know if they're getting there.
Oh, yes, sir.
So we were punished. Jesus was punished on our behalf. Now, did we need to repent? Yes. But I'll explain to you something. Repentance is not for the world. Oh. Repentance is for the church. So for us to be born again, we did not repent. Alright, let me explain this. If we are in the world, the word sin means missing the mark. If you watch the Olympics, you see people doing archery If they do archery, if they miss the bull's eye or miss the whole bird, the umpire shouts sin to this day. In other words, he's saying you just missed the mark. Now, while we were in the world, we never missed any mark. We were not looking for any mark.
Right.
Nobody told us there was a mark.
Come on.
So you can't commit sin while it's in the world. Oh, they did not get this. See how it is. How do you commit sin when there is no law? While we were yet sinners, not a care. We didn't even know there was. Remember when the man of God went and got to these brothers and said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said, "We have not heard that there was such a thing as the Holy Ghost." Same thing with the people in the world. They have not even heard there is such a thing as Jesus. To them, it's a small story. A man went to China and said, "Do you want to receive Jesus?" He said, "What size?" The Chinese were like, "We can give you any size, small Jesus, big Jesus, we can create him." He had no idea. What are you talking about? Well, Jesus what? He only thought, "I would make money. You want small? Which size you want?" So if somebody's in the world, they have no rules. Let me just explain something to you so that you understand it very, very quickly. If you get to Washington, D.C. right this minute, having a joint of weed, ask Pastor Ronnie, you know. Now, a joint of weed, they will celebrate with you. Even some immigration officers will even ask you for small to just. Why? Because there is no law there concerning weed. Try to make the same tricks in London. That's when, no, London is better. Dubai. That's when you understand weed is so bad. But in Washington, D.C., they have no law against it. I did not say it's against the law there, or it's not against the law. They removed the whole law and tore it into pieces. So there is nothing to do with weed. So there is no way weed is committing sin in Washington, D.C., because there is no law for such. If somebody is a sinner in the world right now, don't know nothing about Jesus, they're not sinning. Are they going to heaven? No. I'll explain. So we are busy thinking the world needs forgiveness, needs repentance. The world does not need repentance. The world needs to be born again. A new whole life. Repentance is for people who are already in Christ, who are already with God. The ones with no God don't need repentance. Repentance from which works? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. They need a new creature. A new creature won't sin, has never sinned before. I can see. It's very, very tricky right now. All people are getting it. I don't know if you are getting this.
Nema Mwita is saying, "This is so profound. I will rewatch it with my friends when you post it again." Thank you, sir.
Say, "Behold the Son of God." I like what John did. John had something very, very profound. He is baptizing people, and then he sees people taking the ship, the sacrificial ship, to be prepared, ready for sacrifice on Sabbath. And he says, "Behold," he sees Jesus coming, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." See, people don't know the picture. If you go to Israel and you see where the man was standing, especially when Jesus was saying, "On this rock I'll build my church." All right? The location, if you go there, that's where they were sacrificing to their gods. They would take children and hit them against the rock. So Jesus is standing just a few meters from that rock, seeing people doing the same thing, sacrificing their children to the rock. So he stands there and says, "On this rock, I'll build my church."
Wow.
So he's trying to show them that's not the rock you go to. Same thing with John. John is seeing them carrying their lamb and, you know, dragging their lamb for in preparation for Sabbath. And he points to Christ and says, behold, the real Lamb of God. That doesn't cover the sins of the world, but takes away. Now we're talking about remission now. Big difference between remission and forgiveness. Remission is when... Now, okay, let me give you this. If we were forgiven, we have one problem. If I come to you and I say, I forgive you for what you did to me. Did I remove your mistake? I just told you I forgive you, but you're still guilty of something. There is still that crime that is on you. You're not going to jail anymore. But guess what? Every time I see you, I know what you did. Nobody has done anything to remove that sin. They'll say, oh, you're still friends with that guy, with what he did to you. No, I forgave him. Hey, you are strong. Why? They still remember what happened. Remission is a complete takeaway. A separation. The word is aphesis, which means to take away, to remove as if it's no longer there. It had never occurred. Now, the biggest problem we have in English is, let me do this so that you understand. I would do this just to surprise some of you, but of course, you know, sometimes you think you're going to surprise some people, but they will never understand. There is a word called allowance. I think you know it. Apostrophe, we know it. Aviation, bachelor, bon voyage, I think you know that. Beru, cadet, champagne, you know that, right? Oh, some people know that, champagne. Dossier, elite, delegate, detour, you know that, right? Facade, gallery, yes, I'm on a facade, it was a very, very trick one. Illusion, insult, hotel, homage, kilogram, literature, liaison, magnificent, menu. Do you hear this word? Neutral, optimism, poetic. Do you hear this? Rendezvous. Okay. Are we still there? Salad, restaurant, rich, ridiculous. Now this is your favorite. Soup. Television. Sabotage. Are you still here?
Yes,
sir. Sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still here?
Oh, yes.
Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what words I read? They are all French words. Now, after I read these French words, that most of you think are English, that's when you realize English is a borrowed language. It's a stolen language. So when the translators in English are now translating from the Hebrew and the Greek, remember, they are not in their normal original language. It's just a stolen language. The British did not just steal the language, land. They also stole countries. And the language too. Now, over 60% of the English language is taken from the Greek and the Latin. Over 58% of the English language is French and Latin. There are over 10,000 words in English that belong to the French language. And they actually just grab them as they were and push them here. I love the British. So when people hear the English language, they have a problem. The Bible is inerrant and sufficient in its nature, but language is not. See, people have a problem. They think language is perfect. We did not say English is perfect. We said the Bible is. So the translators are using a language that they can actually understand. Do you understand that in the English translation, we have love, we have charity. We had to change the word charity into love. Why? Because the English culture changed the power of the word charity. They opened the charity shops. So when you hear Jesus says charity, you'll be like, some second-hand things. Your mind immediately is messed up by the culture. and you fail to understand the words. So when the translators are using, they're using the words that were available to them at that time. So they confuse the word forgiveness, remission, they mix them up. Why? Based on the lack of the language to express what it needed to express clearly. I don't know if you're getting this. Hope some people are getting this. Are you getting this now? So if the Bible says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. If this Lamb is taking away the sins, that means they are no longer there. It's not forgiveness. Oh. It's taking away. Like it was never there ever. And it was never there. Your family might remember it, but Jesus doesn't. So when Jesus comes to the church, he offers remission of sins. He is not offering forgiveness. Forgiveness leaves the sin there. Forgiveness leaves the crime there. You're still guilty of that crime, but I just chose to forgive you. But guess what? When we go, you see, there is pedophiles in this country, pedophiles in America. They have what is called a register for pedophiles. They even say lives at number this, number 71, number 69. They even have addresses. And it's public. So you know when you pass by that. So you don't get your children walk by you like, avoid that road. There is a pedophile. It's public. Now just imagine. But they are still staying at the house. So what happened? It's like they've been forgiven. I'm not saying they are forgiven in natural sense of the word, but I'm saying they act as if, look, they're still staying there. Why do you not put them in jail forever? Why putting them in my street and then publish it? It even lowers house prices. That's exactly what forgiveness can give you. It says you're no longer going to jail, but the crime is still there and people have to know you did it. Now with the church, he offered remission. A blotting out. A removal of it. I don't know if you understand. See, the sacrifice of animals like the, you know, would not give us what we needed. It would only cover the sins. So, twice at the Feast of Yom Kippur, at least once per year, the sins of the whole nation were carried by an animal, a lamb. And the lamb would not actually do anything. It would only cover. Cover means they are still under the cover. You can still open and see them. Then the Bible says, behold the Lamb of God, Christ, who takes away. This one is not covering. Oh, this one is taking away all your sins. I said we're just building up to getting to the doctrine of repentance. But for us to get there, we have to understand forgiveness. So if the Bible then says the Jews can repent, the Christians can repent, the world needs to receive Christ. Oh, yeah. I understand right now, people say, but Jesus said you need to repent. That's where the problem is. And I'm going to really share with you that Jesus didn't minister anything to do with our dispensation. Oh, right there. Right there. What about John the Baptist? Read the book of John. He didn't even know who Jesus was. He said, I did not know him. You're expecting him to... What about Peter, the Pope? He said, they repent and be baptized. He repeated the message of Jesus to the Jews. He came unto his own. What was Jesus here for? His own. Not you. Jesus, the Jews. But when they did not receive him, he came to us. So the message of Christ is basically, primarily to his people, to the Jews. You know, when you say something like that, it becomes a real big problem. People be like, I don't understand now where you are going now. Some people see something in red, like, it's written in red. We understand it's written in red, but the book of Hebrews tells you, if you go to Hebrews 8:8, I want you to go to Hebrews 8:8, so that we cover that part and we go somewhere.
Verse number 8. For finding fault with them.
For finding fault with who? We're the Jews.
The mm-hmm. Jews, yes. Mm-hmm. He saith, behold, the days come,
when
I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel.
With the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm. And with the house of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day.
Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers. Did you make this covenant?
In the day when I took them.
Now watch this. It says in the day. Like on the day I took them out of Egypt. So we have a specific debt where the Old Testament is. No, you didn't get it now. Now, you see, right there you think you know what I'm saying. We have a specific debt. You know, one of those few scriptures where God actually pinpoints where he started the thing. Said, when I took them out of Egypt, that day they crossed the Red Sea. Says, that's when the old covenant was started. Exodus 19. So before Exodus 19, it's not Old Testament or covenant. So Genesis is not in the old covenant. According to that scripture. No, you see. This is why in the book of Genesis, you find Jesus, God himself, protecting a murderer. Saying, if you kill that murderer, I will kill you. People should stone a murderer. I was like, wait a minute. I thought you hate people who kill. No problem. Kill him. Kill Cain and you will see. He even put a marker on him. So you recognize him. You won't make a mistake. Is this Cain or not? You are about to kill. Say, yeah. This is dangerous. If I kill this one, I'll be killed. Yet he killed and he's not killed. Brothers and sisters, that's the operation of grace in Genesis. The old covenant is not yet started. That's what the Bible is telling you there, that the old covenant started the day I took them out of Egypt. Before that, there is nothing. Hebrews 9:17.
Verse 17. For a testament.
For a testament.
Is of force after men are dead.
A testament can only operate when Christ is dead. Now you know where the Bible is starting New Testament. So the Old Testament, you know Exodus 19. The New Testament, you know John 19. So it's so easy to locate where we are. But people are jumbled up and they just take anything. They just say, let's go here. Let's go. 1 John 2 verse number 1. I'm just mixing some few things so that you get stuff. Palunzano,
my little children.
My little children.
These things write I unto you.
These things write I unto you.
That ye sin not.
That you sin not.
And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
So you sin not. That's not a problem. Verse 14.
I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. And the
so
word
when
of
you
God.
Get this Bible, right, and you look at these scriptures, you realize they are written, number one, we dealt with the separation, the whole demarcation where the Old Testament is and the New Testament is. Then we went on to give you what John says, that when I'm writing to three groups. Mm-hmm. So I'm writing to those who are mature, who are old, who are little. So I'm writing to these three groups. So when you see verses here that seem like they're contradicting each other, they are not contradicting. There is a purpose. There is a group I'm saying it to. This is the same place where he says, those who, he that is born of God, cannot sin. You wonder, cannot sin? What do you mean cannot sin? I thought we can sin a little bit because we have an advocate in it. No. He's talking to somebody of another level. So there are levels. There is actually a level. Let me shock you, Christians. There is a level where you don't sin at all. Is there?
Amen.
But there is also a level where you sin and you have what? 1 John 2 verse number 1.
Not for Kate. My little children. These things right.
Who are these ones?
Little children.
Uh-huh. Yes.
These things write I unto you, that you sin not, and if any man sin.
If you sin, who? Little children.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We have an advocate.
Oh, we have something you can fix yourself with.
Jesus.
And this
Christ
has nothing to do with age, like I'm 15, I'm 17. No. In Christianity, in a certain level of doctrine, you can be little.
Come on. Hallelujah.
See, You don't see men of God like the brother who preaches about prosperity. He's wearing spectacles, right? And I was, you know, medical, whatever. And you say, oh, he's immature because he's wearing that. No. It can be in that level concerning that part of his body. But prosperity, you can't beat the guy. He is a mature guy in that area. You can't falter him. He can't do nothing. You can't. And notice another thing. In fact, let me not go fast like that. Go to Leviticus 25:10. Hale grovina ankrasufius.
Verse 10.
So we have a lot of people that were like, repent, yeah, repent. It's one problem they think. No, there are levels in Christianity. Yes.
Verse number 10. Mm. And ye shall hallow after the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land.
The word liberty in the Greek Septuagint is actually the word aphesis. Guess what? It is the same word remission. So it means you shall get to a level where you proclaim remission. In other words, in this 50th year, what they would do is they would say, everyone is free. All the debts you owed, wiped out. There is no report. They will ban everything. So nobody could go back and say, yeah, but in 1952, you owed me this much. No, there is no record for it. That was Jubilee. You proclaim Jubilee. You proclaim aphesis. What does it mean? It means you proclaim remission of sins, not repentance, not forgiveness. So what Christ gave us was Jubilee, a spiritual Jubilee, where it's wiped out. And if you sin, you still have Christ, who will... Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. You are waiting for repentance. Keep waiting. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 7:11. Zadu vrenk tagalos.
Verse 11. Mm-hmm. But... If she departs,
let's go 10.
Verse 10. Mm-hmm. And unto the married I command.
Those who are married.
Yet not I, but the Lord.
Yet not I, but the Lord.
Let not the wife depart from her husband.
The wife should not depart from the husband.
Verse 11. Mm-hmm. And if she depart.
If she departs.
Let her remain unmarried.
Let her remain unmarried.
Or be reconciled to her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And let not the husband put away his wife.
The word put away is the word remission. Same word. What it means is, let not that person divorce. That's the word in NIV, is the word divorce. So it says, if this woman decides to come back and let not the husband divorce that wife. The word divorce, listen, I'm not talking about marriage right now, because some people are taking this scripture, running around with it. He said, if this happened, you need to understand the same scripture is actually, if you go deeper in the scripture, it doesn't even allow you to divorce. But you can be divorced. No, they didn't get it. Somebody else can divorce you. That is not your fault. You are standing there, someone says, I want to divorce you. What can you do? So the Bible says you should not divorce me. You can't do nothing. They can go. Now, so watch this now. Watch what the Bible says. It says, put her away. Divorce. So what it's simply saying is, it is the words also remission, which is the word that means, if Christ comes and remit your sins, it's as though you are divorced from them. Oh. The marriage certificate is nullified. Nobody can come to you and say, hey, I want to marry you. Be like, oh, I'm married. No, it's not there anymore. If you want my history, you can get it. But the reality is, it's taken away as though it never existed. As though there was never a marriage. As though you never sinned. As though there was never a mistake ever. That's it, the doctrine of repentance. Amen. Can only be understood when you understand forgiveness. I don't know if they're getting this. So the crime and you are no longer together. In forgiveness, you are not going to jail anymore, but your crime is still recorded. In remission, you are not going to jail because nobody knows what you committed. I don't know if you're getting this. Yes. I'm giving you as an example in the prophetic. We were in Boston. And I'm ministering there. And an old lady stood in front of me and said, my son is in prison. So I said, don't tell me what he's in there for. Let me hear it from God. I began to prophesy and I told him what happened to the son, all the kind of things. He killed a prostitute. He was one of the pimps. He killed a prostitute. One of his, I don't know what they are called. People that, you know, work for him, who are prostitutes. So he's like the captain of prostitutes, you know. I'm trying to... He's a pimp, but what are the prostitutes under the pimp called? They're just prostitutes. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Bevan. Now, so there are these. So I think some, I don't know what happened to this lady. I think she really did not adhere to some of the rules or didn't hand over the money. And he just got angry and had a gun and shot the lady. On the spot. Boom. And they had evidence, a video in this on the streets. A video. Remember? Recorded the whole thing. So they just went to the municipality and just took the CCTV, and then the police are like, yeah, here's your crime. So the first appearance in court, they have the evidence. Boom. We're going to see what we're going to do next week. And see when the jury, whatever, you know, when they array whatever the case and the lawyers are told what's happening and stuff like that. The evidence is there, comes there. Then while he's administering to her, he says, my son is going to court on this day, on this day, on this day. He's in jail already. Men of God, I've asked the people for repentance for the family that of the lady that he killed. And me, I've asked God for him. The man is now praying. Can your Jesus not do anything? I said, woman, when he goes back to court, he will be acquitted. So what do you mean? I said, it's not like being forgiven. It's like he never committed the crime. She looked at me and said, thank you, thank you. You know, you can tell. It's like those days I was telling people, we'll fill up stadiums. They were saying, hallelujah. And I could tell they were just encouraging me. When we started doing it, like, we knew. I said, hey, you didn't know nothing. So a few months later, they go for the court case. And the police come to try and show the video to the jury. The box where the evidence is. The tape is missing. Went back, the judge said, if you don't produce it in 8 days, he walks free. They could not find it. Whoa. No way. The main evidence that they had, and the man is just standing now like this. He doesn't know whether to say I did it or I did not. And they are looking for it. He's not there in jail now. Wow. Now, what happened there is an acquittal. Acquittal is different from being guilty and then let go. No. Acquittal is you never sinned. But did this guy not kill somebody? He did kill somebody. But was he acquitted? Yes. Lack of evidence. Come on. So when you sin before God, and as a Christian, God provided remission and acquittal. You are acquitted. That's why the Bible says he's the justifier of them. Ah, yeah. The word justifier means the acquitter. Of the acquitted. The one who makes it though is seem as though you never did it. In fact, if you try to remind him, he doesn't even know it. I have no idea if people are getting it. Get to Acts 13, verse number 38. Acts 13, 38. Quickly.
Mm-hmm. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins.
Through this man. And the word forgiveness there is exactly what we're talking about when we're dealing with the English language. That the English language, rather, is really younger than the Greek and the Latin combined. The Greek is older than the Latin and the Chinese. Actually existed 1,450 years before Christ. It was already there. Of course, when we look at the Hebrew, it's like it existed 1,000 before years before Christ, because most people are just dealing with the records that were provided, but the Hebrew people themselves can take you back to the origin of it all. So while it is believed that the Hebrew is one of the oldest, of course, linguists say they have the earliest kind of dead they found, the manuscript is 1000 before Christ. So they deal with that part instead of dealing with, was it there before and did people talk about it? They might not have written using it. Just like the New Testament is written in Greek, not in Hebrew, of course, because Greek was actually a very good language at that time. Now, maybe just over 13 million speak Greek. But at one time, it was the main language. It was the thing to speak. If you speak Greek, you are learned. Now, if you speak English, but most people don't really know that English is not the most spoken language on earth. They have no idea. Let's just give for starters. China is over 1 billion people. There you are. Tells us we're just talking. Then you get to Spanish. Then you talk about widely spoken is different from the most spoken. Widely. That means in Zimbabwe, in South Africa, they speak English. In this, they speak English. That's widely spoken. Big difference to them. Most spoken. Big difference. Big difference. Big difference. Now, let's go.
Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren.
I'm about to finish.
That through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins.
So the word forgiveness there is the word remission. But the English translators had to put the words that they were used to. So he's talking about this man. Hiya. Through this man is preached what? The remission of sins. That means what Christ has come to do is to preach the blotting out of sin. Not the forgiveness of it. I forgive you, but you are a sinner. I forgive you. No. A remission. It's like you are not. Now imagine talking about a person that Christ has provided remission for. Imagine how many people are busy opposing people that have been provided, that remission has been provided for. Christ says, I don't know anything wrong with this guy. And you come and say, I see something wrong with this guy. And the Bible says, the devil is the accuser of brethren. So you know the accuser is working not for God, but for the devil. It's so easy to know. This is the doctrine of repentance. Should the church repent, we are going to deal with it. Yes, I told you before that there is repentance for the church. It's not for the world.
Verse 39. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things.
Oh. The word justified is acquitted from all things. Acquitted is not forgiveness. It's acquitted from all things. Acquitted. Like you have no crime, brothers and sisters. It's acquitted. I don't know if they are getting this. I think we need to end now, because I can see some people not getting, like, wow. He says, through this same Jesus, all people have been acquitted from what?
From all things.
From all crimes. Acquitted, not forgiven.
Yes, Prophet, people are getting it. On Atomgram, we've got Kegotso saying, I tell you, men of God, our generation is indeed blessed to have you amongst us. You are just answering a lot of questions I had. Your words are full of nutrients to the soul. I love you, sir.
Love you more.
And Jenny Davis is saying, I've needed this my entire Christian life. You're explaining and directing things that have never settled within me. Thank you, God, for your teaching.
Amen. 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 So sometimes we have a problem, because the Bible says, people will say, oh, so you mean I'm acquitted from everything so I can continue sinning? I did not say that. And a lot of people have that mentality. It's a mentality of a rat. I told you what rats do. The whole family will die because of one thing. One trip in a house will clear out the whole colony. The mother will wake up and say, children, I'm going to look for food for you. Stay here. Because not all rats are going. The mother is going. Guess they try to take cheese from a trap. Dead. The next day, the father is like, we are hungry. Mother did not come back. It's my turn. Dead. Huh? So the whole family, the child is like, look, we are hungry. If I stay here, let me go. Same trip. The whole colony. You even say, the whole house now. No more rats. Not one said, wait a minute. We can't go. This direction here, nobody's coming back this way. So let's not go. Let's use another way because Papa went, Mama went, Brother went, Uncle went, Grandfather left, and everyone is dead. Just behind here, we had a prophetic retreat. And we said to people, you can, one of the legs, we have three legs back there. We said, one of the legs, we said, now, use these hooks and, you know, and bait, and we were just using bread, you know, they're not as clever. So we're using bread, just throw the thing in there, and they will just rush, caught. All the fish were coming out, like this, one by one. Not one said, little children, there is that silver thing there, it's killing us. This silver thing is dangerous. You think it's bread, eh? It's not bread. No, nothing. They just kept coming. Like, how can a whole family be finished by a thing that they see? Anything that went there is catching us and taking us out. No one is coming back. The whole lake will be finished. Mind of a rat. Nothing. Just going. For one thing. So you can be finished by not looking through things that we are saying. We are not saying you should not repent. We are not saying there is nothing called sin. We will preach about that too. But there is a reason why we don't make a practice of preaching about it. Because God is not so much after your forgiveness. Now you didn't get it. God is not so much. No. God is so much about giving you freedom. Because the word freedom, forgiveness there, as we read, it's actually liberty, means freedom. God wants you to be free from sin. Amen. No. Not to get forgiveness, but behind, to get something behind the word forgiveness. Hallelujah. Behind the word forgiveness, behind the act of forgiving, is a big point. Behind the act of repentance is a big thing called freedom. Freedom from sin. Every sin starts with the mouth. That's why you also end it with the mouth. And I know people are like, I want to. So, men of God, I just ask for forgiveness. They're like, you know, I'm asking for. You don't need to ask for it. This is the trick here. Nobody should ever go on their knees and say, Father, I ask for forgiveness for my sin. No, that's not biblical. Right. I'll prove it to you in a few minutes. Okay, come on. See what the church is doing? We're like, you need to ask for forgiveness from God. I want to ask forgiveness for what I've done. Hey! Alright. 1 John 1 9. In fact, start from verse number 8.
If we say that we have no sin.
If we say we have no sin.
We deceive ourselves.
We deceive ourselves.
And the truth is not in us.
And the truth is not in us. Now watch what this says. See what it's saying, what I'm saying. If we say there is no sin, then we forgive, we mess us up, we mess ourselves up.
Verse 9. If we confess our
sins. Now, if we confess our sins, watch this clearly. If we confess our sins,
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
He is faithful enough to what?
To forgive us our sins.
Oh, I know you didn't get that. Go to Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9. And stay where you are. So you just hear Romans 10:9 from him. Or you can actually technos if you are fast with your fingers, you can actually go to where you need to get to.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus.
Repeat it.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus.
Let me read 1 John 1 verse number 9. If we confess our sins, read that one.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth
if
the Lord Jesus.
If we confess our sins.
And shall believe in.
So if we're confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ a sin? Because it's the same word, confess. So if we are to confess the Lord Jesus Christ and confess our sins and it's the same word, something is wrong in the translation. Because we know for sure we are not confessing Christ as a sin. The word there is homologio. The word homologio does not mean to confess a sin. Like stand and say, I did wrong here, I did wrong here. Then salvation is based on memory. Because what if I forgot what I did? So the ones with better memory are the better Christians. And I'm talking about better memory about Christian, about your sins now. I'm not talking about better memory about verses. So it's like the church has gotten a mistake where they have taken wrong the gospel, the doctrine of repentance, and it's now based on memory. Do you remember what you did wrong? Can you say it all? Then nobody will leave the prayer room. Because there are some sins you have no idea you are committing when you are committing them. You have to be thinking like, okay, the way I greeted that person, one. Number two, yesterday I did this. But before I get to yesterday, even today, right? This minute. Before you came to this service. In fact, some of you, I even once abstaining right now. So, let's just understand. You will never be forgiven. You are going to hell in a basket. I'm telling you, if it is all about memory, how you remember what happened before, you still remember it. I remember this list. Number one, two, three, four. 200 before you go in for today only, before the day is out. 200. Now yesterday. Now 2 days ago. Now 20 years ago. So salvation is now based on your memory. The ability of your memory to retain things to you. So is Jesus, why did Jesus die? If it is all about our memory. If it is this thing that we need to be repenting and confessing our sins every minute. Really means repenting and forgive, asking for forgiveness. If it means what it means, then we have a problem in Christianity. Then Christ didn't need to come here. He just needed to shout from heaven, guys, repent. I'm coming back another time. That's all. Why would he die for us? For this reason. So that he can destroy the works of the enemy. He came to destroy all sins. The power of the enemy. He came to destroy it. Why did you come? There is it. If Christ suffered on the cross, took our sins away, and we still need to be shouting and repenting and calling on our sins and recalling our sins and giving them back to him, we have a problem, trust me. Then the purpose of Christ is muddied. The purpose of Jesus coming on earth is useless. Same thing as Muhammad coming. What can he do? Because after he has come, after he died on the cross, we do the things ourselves again to clean ourselves. Then we have a problem. Then Christ really didn't do much. Oh, but he died for us. Romans 5:5. Because you might have, he died for you.
Uh-huh. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is unto us. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Repeat it.
Yes, sir. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Are you getting it?
Yes, sir.
Verse 7. Where I want you to go to.
For scarcely.
Watch this now. What is the word scarcely, son?
It is molis, which means with difficulty, hardly, not easily, very rarely.
Very rarely. So use very rarely so that they can understand.
Yes, sir. For very rarely.
That means this can happen.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now watch this. So it is possible.
For very rarely, for a righteous man, will one die.
So, Jesus dying on the cross, it's not special.
Yet,
now, you see. The Bible told us that it is possible for people to die for each other. See, it's amazing. Right now, somebody says, I'm undermining, downplaying the death of Christ. No, I'm trying to actually put a contrast So you can see the importance of Jesus dying. Was not just dying on the cross. It says people can die for others. It's, yes, it's rare, but it happens. People die for others. Have you not seen? Have you not even heard people talking about this one? What about Romeo and Juliet? What about all these other people? This one is killed because of this one. This one. It's like people die for each other. What about all these love stories? This one dying for the lover, and this one dying for this one, and this one killed for this one. It's just there. People do that. Yes, it's rare, but it happens. So for scarcely a man can die for another. So if it's just death that Christ did, then we are in trouble. Because anybody can die according to that scripture. But if there was a purpose for that death, that differentiates Christ. Other all religious leaders. He is not. This is not a religion, I understand. So now the word confess means homologio. If we confess the Lord Jesus, if we homologio the Lord Jesus, if we confess, if we say the same thing God says about Jesus Christ, then we are born again. If God said in heaven he is Lord and we agree with him and say he is Lord, guess what? We are born again. So being born again is a result of agreeing with God. I don't know if you're getting it. So we are actually born again because we just agreed with what God said. God said Jesus is Lord. I say he is Lord. Jesus is King. I say he is King. I'm agreed. Now here it comes now, the same word, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. If we say the same thing God says about our sin. Oh, no, you didn't hear. What does God say about our sin? It is forgiven. Oh, no. No, remission of sins. It is blotted out. So now, when we talk about a macrocosm of a microcosm, so we're talking about a big word, a big thing that contains other things inside. So we're talking about remission. It has inside it repentance. But repentance has no remission. And they didn't get it. Remission contains it. In other words, you can stand there and say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful enough to forgive. Now, before we get to the faithful enough to forgive, and I'm about to finish. If I repent of my sins, in other words, the word that is confessed there carries a certain level of acknowledging. All right? That means I have a problem that I acknowledge. I get to understand is an issue. I don't know if you're getting this. You know, people who are drunkards, alcoholics, or gossipers will never believe they are gossipers. Never. They just feel like, you know, people just love me. They just tell me stories. No, you are a gossiper. Why is it that these people are not telling anyone else except you? Why is only you? One of our neighbors would tell us stories every day. I know my wife is more beautiful than this neighbor's wife. But this neighbor's wife had stories of men stopping her everywhere. I said to my wife, I know your face. It's not like I am biased here. Why is it that people don't stop you like this, they stop here? Why is it that everyone is on this one? Why is it that everyone is on your page, liking your page on Instagram? Why? You're not the most beautiful woman on earth. It might be that short dress you are wearing. If you see houseflies on something, there's poop somewhere. You don't go like, oh, this one. Oh, just the houseflies like it. No, something is wrong somewhere. You didn't hear what I'm saying. So you have a lot of people that say, men can't stand when they just see me. They're all over me, all over you. How did they get into your space? Women love me a lot. Where? How did you talk to them? When? How did they cluster around you? It's still getting in. I know I'm just beautiful like that. Yeah. So why are you not getting married? I don't know which one to choose. Okay. So there are too many. Too many. I have 3 boyfriends now. I don't know which one. Which one is the right one, man of God? These people are not there because they like you. There is something you sold. If you advertise sexiness, men who like sex will move in into your DM with their wardrobes and their television and their sofa. The whole house will be in your... Why? It's easy. What you advertise is what they are looking for. So, you get to a certain point where you ought to acknowledge this is a problem. So, it's inside the word homologio. Where you are confessing it yourself, you know it. You know what God said about it. But you also know a fact that this thing that I know God has dealt with, I have a problem in it. Oh, you didn't hear me. That's what the Bible says in the book of Revelation. It says, repent and do the first works. In other words, repent is being written to the church. Repent and do the first works. In other words, repentance is not enough. It is shown by doing the first works, what you used to do. Mm-hmm. See now, right there. We got in there. Come on. So, but I repented. Yeah, but it says repent, comma, and do. That means repentance is not doing. Amen. Remission, on the other hand, is complete blotting out. Mm-hmm. But when you repent, you still need to do. So I repented. This. I used to drink, but I've repented. So where are you going today? Just down the pub. Hey? To do what now? Do you know how difficult it is to repent while you are inside a bottle of Stella Artois? You know, like, I've repented, I'm no longer drinking. Where do you live? Inside Stella Artois. Yeah, honestly, it's like... So you have to get to a point where you acknowledge, I have something here that is a weakness. If you don't acknowledge your weakness, you have not confessed. For you to say, I confess the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal savior, you have acknowledged you have need of a savior. I don't know if you're getting it. So we have a lot of people that think, you know, if I confess my sins, this is it. I confess. That's what the Bible says. He that is born of God cannot commit sin. And I want to deal with that part later on. Mm. And maybe another day. I don't know if they're getting it. In Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've never been there. You know, there are some sins you think, you know, I should have committed this one. So that my testimony will be rich. No, have you ever listened to some people's testimony and be like, wow. It was mine. Where somebody goes like, I was on drugs, I did this, and the Lord delivered me. And be like, you have nothing except you used to fail mathematics, now you are passing. Like, this is not a testimony for generals, you know. There's some attractive states, you know, testimonies like, yeah, wow. What? This guy? Yeah, no. Everything, they nearly killed me in Kandahar. Whoa. And then the Lord just appeared to me and saved me. Like, what? Then you'll be like, next. You'll be like, no. I'll give next week my testimony. This one is heavy. And people would have clapped before that guy stood up. Now you know you are next and be like, I have to do something here. I remember I used to say, I always say, when I get to heaven, I don't want to be the only general with no wounds. When Peter and Jonah sitting together, comparing scars. Hey, and Paul says 3 times nearly shipwrecked. 1 time with a storm called Euryclidon. Even the storm makes the testimony big. Euryclidon. You'll be like, come on, Paul. No, it's just a wind. You don't need to tell us the real Says, by a storm called Euryclodon. Paul was serious. He would have just said a storm. He said Euryclodon. Like, you're like, brother Paul, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Your own testimony is no wind, no water, nothing. You were just a failure in school. Like, Paul, please. Give me one testimony. This is why people are lying about testimonies. They just come like, things were very bad. The devil stood in front of me like, you. Stop it. You can hear some testimonies and you know someone has massaged it and massaged it and massaged it. Now it's coming out clear. Why? Because the church is focusing on repentance. Yes, do we repent? Yes. But that's not what God is trying to do. He is trying to bring in the purpose of forgiveness. The purpose of repentance. What is behind it is for us to be free from sin. Hallelujah. He came to destroy the power. Now, I'm about to say something. But I feel like, let's finish this part. I said 25 minutes, right? The service. 5 minutes left. It's well, just in 10 minutes, alright. Oh my God. A day in the house of God is like what? 1,000. So if God says, wait a minute, might be trouble for you. Wait a minute, like God, which minute are we referring to? Your minute or our minute? Let's go.
Peradventure for a good man would even dare to die.
For a good man. Some would even dare to die. For a good man. Let's go to 1 John 1:9. And I want to just kind of deal with this part and tell you what repentance is in a nutshell before we get to part 2 next week and all these other
things. Number 9. Yes, sir.
This is the doctrine of repentance. Oh, yes. We started with understanding forgiveness, remission of sins, so that you get it when we start talking about repentance. You get it. Mm-hmm. Alright.
If we confess our sins.
If we homologize our sin, we say the same thing God says about our sin, and we acknowledge it. This is to the church. It's not to the sinners. We are being told if we repent by confessing our sins. What is confession? Homologia. Saying the same thing God is saying. Not going there and say, God, I have sinned. My sin is this one. Relax now. Notice, in the New Testament, No. I don't think you'll be okay to receive this. You might not be receiving this well. God is not providing. New Testament, this reality, the New Testament reality, the new creation reality, God is not giving, let me repeat, the new creation realities, God is not forgiving people. Oh, no. What if I repent? Am I not going to be forgiven? No, you're not. There is no forgiveness for the Christian in the sense of God giving you forgiveness when you confess. No. God has provided forgiveness. They didn't get it. No, they didn't get it. My brother used to send, my brother called Sam, he's in Australia now. He used to send, brilliant guy. Handsome, but not as handsome as me, of course. But when I was young, now he's the most handsome. When I was young, at school, I remember my father would come for, you know, our odd guys, you know, very tricky guys, very, very tricky. And I don't want to give him a hard time, you know, he's late, not because he's late, I don't want to give him a hard time, but, you know, I'm the man I am because of him. You look at people like Michael Jackson, honestly. The guy, multi-millionaire. Listen to this. Multi-millionaire. Number one, king of pop. To this day, he's dead. The guy is on the charts of the radios. Yeah. Top. Wow. He came on TV and they put him a mic in his face like this. Say, tell us, what you experienced when you were young. Oh, my father used to abuse me. He beat me up. I'm like, brother, I need a mother who beats me up to millions. Honestly, you complain that your father was beating you and you're now a millionaire. You are like, you're complaining. How can I find a grandmother like that? Like, next week, 100 million. Like, please, I'm here. I'm back again. Can you do that thing you did? You know, with what is happening in the world, people have become sissified saints that complain about anything. Victim mentality. I saw it in TV in America. One lady, I think it's called Lupita Nyong'o. She went into this Harvey Weinstein's bedroom. Yeah, went into the bedroom. Why were you going to bedroom? What do you think happens there? You think they were going to discuss a movie in the bedroom? You went past the sitting room like this. You like, where are you going? My bedroom. You think we're discussing in there? What can you discuss here? You actually went. And then you come out and say, yeah, he was about to abuse me. In someone's bedroom, what were you doing there? So we have a victim mentality that is happening. People don't take responsibility. I don't know if you're getting this. Now you're getting this man here saying he was beaten by his father, the Jackson father, to become millions. All the whole crowd, the whole five, Jackson five, were beaten as they were young, beaten, and they became millionaires. Trust me, if you were not beaten, you would not be millionaires. Now, so my father was a real character. My father would not beat you with a whip, like, you know, find a tree branch and be like this. No. My father would beat you with anything that was available. Anything near him, it was all right. I had a kind of relatives and a kind of upbringing where someone would beat you up with a wire, saying they were afraid of the forestry commission, so they can't take the tree. No branch from a tree, wire would be okay. I'm a result of corrections. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So my father would, while we were at the boarding school, my father would come just 10 meters away from the school. They used to have meetings there for educationists and politicians and stuff like that. And he was in both fields. So we'd come there and we'd see him from the assembly like this. We'd see other parents coming in and giving their father their children money. My father would not greet you. You'd be just standing there. He would look at you and look away and move and walk like, where are you going, man? Other parents are giving people money here. Where are you? What is happening? So what happened was, my brother started sending me money. It was called registered mail at that time. He would send you $20. And $20 was a lot of money. $30, $100. And be like, if you get $100, the Lord has seen you. What were we using it for? There were no shops nearby. It was just boarding with a fence around it. And then you would be allowed maybe one day to go into town. And you go there not alone, eh? The boarding masters, their assistants with a whip like this. So you knew you wouldn't come out of line. You know, you go there, you buy. And that is if you are lucky that year. So my brother would send this registered mail and would wait for registered mail. There would be mail for mail, you know. This one, they will call the whole school. Then registered mail will be 5-6 that day. And you will see people waiting for registered mail like this. And no name is called the whole year. So I began to get registered mail from my brother. So I was excited. Wow, I'm getting this money. I'm getting this money. I'm getting this money. So then I got to A-level. And my sister did not send me, my sister called Mavis, did not send me this registered mail. She gave me a bank card. Now, whenever you want to go into town, what do? This is your bank card. You just take from here. Now I didn't need to wait for a registered mail. You didn't get what I'm saying. Now it was up to me. to get the money when I need it and when I have time to get to the cash machine. I don't know if you're getting what I'm trying to say. What that means is what God has done is not for you to ask for forgiveness and then he forgives you. No, he provided forgiveness. I take it when there is a need. You are not getting what I'm trying to say. See, some people are not getting it. Now, if you check this, go to Acts 26, 18. Quickly.
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins.
That they may receive forgiveness of sins. The word receive is the word lambano. It is the word where we get the word, if we add to it, is katalambano. It means to seize as if by force, to take it, so that they may take forgiveness. No, they didn't get it. Not ask for it. To take it. So I sin. What do? I go take forgiveness. You're not getting me. I can see people are not getting it. You are now the takers of forgiveness. You're not people who ask for forgiveness anymore. You are taking it. So imagine opposing a man who just took forgiveness a few minutes ago. So now we have the ability to take it. There's no God saying, no. The way you did it today, we will not take it. No, you take it. Oh, no, I can see. Acts 5:31. So you understand, we took it after he did what? Acts 5, he did something. Then Acts 26, we take it.
Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted.
Jesus had God exalted.
With his right hand to be a prince and savior.
Yes.
For to give repentance to Israel.
To give.
And forgiveness of sins.
To give repentance and to give forgiveness. We take repentance. We take forgiveness. I can see you're not here. I can see my online people are wondering, what are we talking about? Now, 5 says he gave forgiveness and he gave repentance. It's already there provided. There are no guards guarding it. Now, the church is telling you, go there and repent and stand there as I repent of whatever. No, take repentance, brothers and sisters. Take it. Take forgiveness. Take it. Lampano it. It was given. You know, you'll be free if people teach it the right way. People will be free. You won't be free to sin. You'll be free to actually take it. Then you know I have a mistake. I take it. How you say, but if we take this, people will think this is you, angel, giving people a license to sin. You were sinning well before I gave you a license. You didn't need my license to sin. You are perfect in sin. Without my license. This is an empowerment for you to know. God has already provided something. He wants you to actually be forgiven. To know it. Now it's your conscience that needs it. Hallelujah. It's not Jesus who says it's not there. He gave remission. Your problem is your conscience. And the portrait of your faith is gotten in your conscience. Now I just said something. 1 John 1:9 So that we finish this. Tezamonde. But this is just the introduction to it. It's happening. Kalamandos.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Now, I want you to go back in the Greek. Go in the Greek. So some people will understand what it is. Lenda kosian angravinos ofrenda kalidosia tatas zen ankraguze paladuman monta grandes dalik. Are you getting it?
Yes, sir.
How many are excited to be here? So here it is, the word is homologia, to confess. Read the first meaning so that we don't go anywhere. We just read the first meaning of the Greek dictionary.
Yes, sir.
If we confess.
So if we homologio.
Say the first word, sentence.
Okay. To say the same thing as another.
To agree with.
To agree with. Assent.
Assent. To concede. Not to refuse.
To promise, not to deny.
So you see now, not to deny is the word acknowledge. But the first one is, you are saying the same thing as God says about your sin. You are not saying it's not there. But you are not confessing it on Google. You You're not telling YouTubers this is what I did wrong. No, 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 no. I don't know if you understand it. Are you getting it? Are you getting it?
Rakaseta is saying, take forgiveness. Don't ask for it. It's already available.
It's already available. Imagine you did something wrong. You get into your room like this. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take forgiveness. Hey, I take it. No, it's not like God will be like, stop. There is something you did I hated today. So you have to remain here for 5 hours. You need to confess now. No, homologeo. Say, I have done something wrong. I acknowledge it. But guess what? I say what you say about my sin. You took it away. Remission of sin. It's no longer there in the bank system. So I know I take forgiveness.
Amen. Glory.
If the church would understand it, they would understand the purpose of Christ. Now the people acting like Christ has not come to do anything. He just died on the cross. Died. He dead now. Yeah. Yes, died for your sins. Okay, so what do we do about our sins? You need to confess your sins now. Huh? What are you talking about? Now people say, but Jesus said you need to confess your sins. When was it? Was it after he died or before he died? Before. That means it's not for you. We already read Hebrews. See, it's so amazing how people mix up testaments just because. You see, where is your Bible? Give me your Bible. Now, I want to show you something. Something that will shock you. What verse is this page? This page here. What verse is it? This Holy Bible page, but it's okay. What verse is it? There's no verse. Okay. Maybe some people they might have problems. Okay, let me just use this one. This one might have a verse. What verse is this? It's just written Old Testament, eh? Because these are the printers that said Old Testament. But they had not read Hebrews 8:8, which tells us Genesis is not the Old Covenant. Now, maybe you have a problem. Let's go to the book of Matthew that you think is the start of the New Testament. It starts here. This is not a verse. It's a demarcation put by the printers. This is why Jesus never quoted verse 5:9. He said, it is said. It is written. Where Jesus, another prophet said, Elijah said, Isaiah said. What is he saying? He's not quoting verses or points of scriptures. Why? They were not there at that point. The original Bible doesn't have numbers. Now, then you read the book of Matthew, of course. Then you get to the red. Red. If it's written in red, it's Jesus. So people have a certain respect for things written in red. So Jesus said it this way. He said, repent. You ought to repent and be baptized. Huh? People are like, see, you repent first and be baptized. That's what Jesus said. Yes, in the Old Testament. Oh, but it's New Testament. Why? Because you saw a written New Testament. You think it was New Testament. Why didn't you put Malachi in the New Testament? Why didn't we put Malachi in the New Testament? Why? Because it's simply a page, eh? You know, I have no reason why Malachi is not in the New Testament. You have no reason whatsoever. You say it's because Jesus was not yet here. You see, you want to put Jesus in the New Testament for some reason. Why are you putting Jesus in the New Testament? He was in the Old. He says, Abraham was glad to see my day. He was in the Old Testament. Why did you not put him there? Why was that not the New Testament? Melchizedek, formed after the manner of Jesus, was made under the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, in there. And in the book of Genesis, it says it again, that, and I heard the voice of God, and the voice of God is the word of God. I heard the word of God walking. That's what Adam said. And if you read the book of Revelation chapter 19, it tells you that the word of God is Jesus. Then you read John 1 verse number 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. So the word is still John, it's still in Revelation, it was in Genesis. Why are you not putting that in the New Testament? Because you really don't know why the printers put it there. They are simply saying this part of this section of books is where you will find the New Testament. They are not saying this is the New Testament. The New Testament starts when Jesus, who is the testator, dies. So anything he's talking to anyone he's talking to right now are the Jews. So he's telling them, he's ushering in a transitional gospel, so to speak. A certain level of taking people who are following rules and regulations to put them to understand grace. And you can't just go and just cut, stop sacrifices. They will say, stop that. We have to sacrifice. The Lord told us to do so. Before Abraham was, I am. Huh? They said, you are not even 50. Yet you say you are like Abraham. You have seen him, you. And he was trying to show them that, look, I'm beyond this. When he wrote on the ground like this. Because you see, when Moses copied the Ten Commandments, right? He copied even the handwriting of God that he had broken at that time. So when Jesus is kneeling down in the ground and he writes, it's the graphe. You need to read my wife's book, Grace Driven Life. Brilliant. Graphe. He wrote, and when he is writing like that, what is happening is this. He's doing two things, and I'm not going to deal with the other one. He's doing two things. By writing, he's simply showing all the religious leaders that have seen that handwriting of God on the tablets that Moses said imitated. They realized this is the same guy who wrote the commandments. They said one by one they left. They said, this guy knows something. We are busy trying to copy the handwriting of God. This guy is writing using the handwriting itself. They said, leave this guy. If you look at the word, it says, starting with the elders. And the word elders there is the word Sanhedrin. It means they were the archbishop, the archangels of the Christian church. They left. They said, no, brother. It's okay. You can do whatever you want. Jesus provided beyond what you think. I don't know if you are hearing me. So, the woman caught in the act of adultery. In the very act, the Bible says in the very act. Notice they didn't catch the man in the very act. They caught the woman in the very act. That's how I'll explain. We will. They caught the woman in the very act. The Bible says in the very act of adultery. The very act. It wasn't some kind of, opinion, conjecture. I think we saw wrong. No, it was happening when they arrived. They opened the whole house and boom, they are right there doing it. That means they continued a little bit as they were standing there. And grabbed the woman, whether from wherever, they grabbed the woman out. Took her straight to Jesus. As they walked and got to Jesus, guess what happened? The Bible says, and Jesus looked at them and said, he without sin, cast the first stone. Watch this. They didn't know they had already left the Old Testament. When they came to Jesus, Jesus is now showing them the New Testament before his own death. That there is something beyond this that will happen. Oh, I know we are in the law. That's what the Bible says. For God sent his son who was born after the law. Meaning you say what? He was in the law. And as was his custom to go to the synagogue. So Jesus would go to the synagogue as was his custom. Jesus wasn't going to church. He wasn't attending service with choir and they opened the New Testament. It wasn't even written. He was a Jew, following Jewish traditions. On the Sabbath, he would go to the synagogue. And they get to him, and he says, woman, where are thine accusers? Hey! Notice immediately, there is a change. Where are your accusers? Yet the Bible told us, they caught her in the very act of adultery. They saw him. And saw her. And took her from the very act of adultery. And they presented him to the New Testament. And the New Testament says witnesses are now accusers. Oh no, you didn't get that. You missed it. The same witnesses that caught her in the very act. Jesus says, where are your accusers? He didn't call them witnesses. He says, I know they saw you in the Old Testament. But in the New, I can't see it. So they are your accusers. Remission is different from forgiveness. Jesus couldn't even see the adultery. He said, no, you. I don't know. They are all here. He started talking from the perspective of the Old Testament. He without sin cast the first stone. Say, huh? And notice, he didn't say without sins. I just want to do something right there. He didn't say without sins. He said without sin. He was specific about a sin he was talking about. It was adultery. He said they caught you in the very act. Now Jesus is saying, you the archbishop and the assistant in charge and the elder and the deacon, all of you holding your stones like this. He who has no sin for this sin, like this sin that this woman was caught in. Strike. They looked at their stones. They looked at their hearts. They're like, ah, no. I just did. Yesterday I was there. All of them, all of them dropped their stones and left. He was not asking for sins in general. He was asking for this one specific one that they were about to kill you for. Do you understand? People will kill you for your sin because theirs look lighter than yours. It is the same sin. People will drag your name in the mud so they can clean their own. This is what people do. That's why Brother Khalid, you know, Brother Khalid was not a Christian. But he said, tell the Pope to lift up his sketch so we can see what's under. Looks very vulgar. But he was saying there is something that the Catholic Church is hiding and we need to reveal it. That's what he was saying. Says, lift your garment, Pope, so we can see what's under. Says, we know there is something happening. In the Vatican City that we need to uncover. Imagine the Vatican City telling Donald Trump, don't build a wall. Yet the Vatican City itself has walls. Says, anyone who puts a wall on anything is a sinner. The Pope is saying it, living inside a city with a wall. And Vatican is actually a state, a sovereign state. That means it's a country with a wall. Go there, you will see. You won't climb that wall. It will shoot you down. And it's so high, you will never climb it. And they are busy pointing it. Preaching like in hypocrisy. Saying something else and doing another thing. I was talking to my wife one time and I said when I met Pastor Chris, I said, I've seen a Christian. She was like, but we've seen a lot of Christians. I said, not this one. This one is different. See, there is a difference in believing what you are preaching and doing what you are preaching. You know, a lot of preachers will preach about finances and they are broke. Oh, yeah. And the only time that they get the money is when the offering comes. Are they preaching the truth? Yes, but that truth has not affected them. So say, yeah, we are rich in Christ. Everything after service, they're waiting for one brother with a car. So can you just drop me at my house? But in there you were saying, Christ is powerful, Christ is this. Yes, he is preaching the truth. But that truth has not affected them. Is it good to do that? Yes, because there is a confession stage. And confession is a faith at a junior level. But possession, faith at a senior level. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? So we have a lot of people that have not understood. Repentance is different. He says, this is it. This is what I do. I forgive sins. Yes, but I provide remission. Forgiveness is for you to feel free from it. To know you are free from it. You have the power over sin. You have conquered sin. So prophet, are you saying we can't ask for forgiveness? You don't need to. Only a fool asks for what they already own. I can't come out there and say, hey, I am asking for a car. God will be like, right in front of you. I need a house. God, if you just give me a house, like, where are you? I'm in my house. Ah, sorry, sir. See, I told you one time, and I keep telling people this testimony, and it's real. I was in my house before. You hear Those who have watched me know I repeat this. And I just woke up and I was like, oh my God, what's the time? Boom. My God, we did not pay rent. We need to pay rent. I ran. When I was about to get to the other house, two houses there, about to get to the other house, I'm trying to shout to, out loud, loudly to my wife to say, rent, rent, rent. I think we didn't pay rent. Because once in a while, we used to have the landlords from hell. The ones that you need to pay rent on the 30th, they will come searching for it on the 21st. Like, it's 30th. Where are you coming today? They will trouble you 20. Say, don't forget. Huh? Don't forget. This, I know it's not 30th, but I'm just sending you a reminder. Thank you. So I think it traumatized me somewhere. So I ran, I got there. I said, when I was about to say rent, I realized I was the landlord. So sometimes you have got fools like that, that keep on asking for what they already own. Forgiveness is provided for. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and everything else shall be added unto you. Then Jesus turns around and says, they shall say the kingdom is there, and the kingdom is there, and the kingdom is there. Don't listen to them, for the kingdom is inside you. So if the kingdom is inside, why are you seeking? Only fools seek for what they already have. Only fools demand for what they already have. Only fools will ask for what they already have. Only fools will beg for what they already own. The Bible says it right there in the book of Acts, chapter number 5, 31. Provided he gave repentance and forgiveness. He gave it. He gave it. It's out there. It's right there in front of you. Then he says, you ought to take it. So you take forgiveness. You don't ask for it. You take it. There's nobody to ask. Who? He gave it. Let me give you this scripture. Then I finish. And but this scripture will confuse you a little bit. It will confuse you a little bit. It wasn't part of the things I want to talk about. But I think... Now, Proverbs 6, 30 and 31. Trust me, you might not like it.
Verse 30. Mm-hmm. Men do not despise a thief mm-hmm. if he steals to satisfy his soul.
Men do not despise a
when
thief.
He is hungry.
Verse
31.
Mm-hmm.
But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold.
No. What happens when he is found, son?
He shall restore sevenfold.
So the thief has to restore sevenfold if he be found.
Yes, sir.
What if he is not found? He will not repay, right?
Yes, sir.
The idea is for the thief to be found. I'm about to say some very controversial stuff. I understand some of you have heard me preach about this and stuff. And, you know, you're already wise when it comes to those things. But it's important that I show you those things. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Read it again.
Men do not despise a thief
mm-hmm.
if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is mm-hmm. hungry. Verse mm-hmm. 31. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold.
If he be found. Now, if the devil be found, if you realize it's the devil, what should the devil do?
Repay
sevenfold. I know you're about to miss it. If the devil is caught that he is the one who caused it, he should repay sevenfold. Now, if the devil is able to steal and then restore sevenfold, let me just give you the small mathematics. If he steals 1,000, how much should he give me? So I fold it seven times. Then it's 7,000. If you... think that way. Where is he getting the 6? From where? From others where he stole. That tells me something. That means the devil has my money. So I'm busy asking God for money that the devil has. No, he didn't get that now. You see what I'm trying to say? So a lot of people are busy saying, God, I need money. If you can only help me. God is like, no. That guy stole your money.
Yeah.
The thief is right there. All you need is open your eyes and get it. But when he get it, he shall give sevenfold. If he stole my health. Well, thank God he stole my health. Why? Because now when I demand it, I'm not demanding it from God. So we have Christians on their knees asking for God to give them healing. And the devil, God is saying, hey, the devil stole it. So he has a bank full of healing. But when he restores your own, he should give you sevenfold. So you're going to be stronger than he, even if he steals one. Like, thank God you stole one. You owe me seven now. No, you still didn't get it. Now, some people don't believe this. Like, no, it's not biblical what you are saying. Acts 16:37. In fact, start from 36. I'm about to finish. I was finishing already, but this thing just started here.
Mm-hmm. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul.
Paul was arrested. And then the governor said he should be in jail. Let's go.
The magistrates have sent to let you go.
Now they said, the magistrates have said, you can be free now, Paul, Mr. Paul, be free. Thank God, Paul. Like, oh, hallelujah. Paul started thanking God in verse number 37. Thank you, Lord, I'm going out. No. Read it.
But Paul said unto them,
they have officers,
beaten us openly.
They beat us openly.
Uncondemned.
Being Roman citizens.
And they've cast us into prison.
Put us in prison.
And now do they
now
cast
they
us
want us
out
to go privately?
Privately?
No, tell the magistrate to come escort us out. Aya! Your miracle is coming from the devil this time. You didn't hear what I just said. Oh. If they did it privately, let them do it openly. I prophesy to you now in the name of Jesus. Everything you need, forgiveness, repentance is provided. Finances provided. Miracles for your healing provided. Everything you need provided. All you gotta do is open your eyes and know who the thief is. Take it now in the name of Jesus. Take it now in the name of Jesus. Baju kabaya. Begin to pray wherever you are. Begin to pray. Man doze pala doze azazo. Rekaba yantuze atale. Preduga galas. Zo jatiba kangra dugias. Ze palo non zo poprak degazoza. Yandu galandus. Munze tabalon de zata. Paradiso keri manga nomble. Zi azates. Ze kuja kranga mahantes. Me pradiga lanuzies. Ji krongele man. Mando ze valahansia. Pera gazoza tale. Pandu ze akala mahukre, ze yoteida mahandes. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. So, same with forgiveness. It's all you gotta do is accept it. It's already there. It's in the house. My son doesn't wake up and knock on my door like, hey, where is the food? No, something will be wrong if he says that. Because I know the food should be in the kitchen somewhere or in another room somewhere. And if he doesn't have food, he has got a bank card. He can actually order what he wants. It's not something that he needs to bother me like, so what are we going to eat tonight? If you see that, you have the wrong father. Now, our God, the Bible says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. You put your hand in, you can't get to the bottom. Have you ever gone to this restaurant, they say bottomless? You say you can keep drinking. It's really not bottomless. They will find one guy. One guy will prove to them that this is not bottomless. Even buffet shops have a time to close. They know there are some champions that will continue feeding. Until they say, no, it's closed. We need to go home now. They know for sure. All they are saying when they say it's buffet, they are simply trying to tell you, if you're not going to the buffet and say, oh no, eggs are gone. Yeah. It's finished. Maybe tomorrow will be there. Yeah. What are they saying? Then you know it's not buffet. It's only buffet in the sense that you choose what you like. But reality is it bottomless? No. It's not bottomless. It's just talk. They've not found people. That's why all these things are not found in the right locations. You know what I mean. They're not found in the right locations. Right locations. Oh, don't play like that. There are people that feed. You know, if those words feed, they'll be sweating like this. Sweating. Like, You don't sweat for work. This one is sweat for. After eating, they are tired. Like, like what? We don't know about it. Now the Bible says the unsearchable riches of Christ. Meaning this one you can't finish. It's there. That's why he didn't count the mountains. He said, I'm the owner of a cattle on 1,000 hills. He didn't say 2,000. I kept on wondering, why didn't he say 5,000? Why didn't he say 2 million hills? There are many hills. Even under the sea, there are hills. And God told me, no, any 1,000 you want to choose. I didn't say which ones. So you can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1,000. Say, okay, start from there and say one again. Do you know why God is called El Shaddai? The word El Shaddai does not mean more than enough. I know. It is, of course, people would tell Shaddai is rage and anger and stuff like that. It's also included in that. But the main name Shaddai is from the word Haddai. Hai. That not the El. The El is the word Shaddai. That is mainly important. The El is the God, the strong one, who is Shaddai, which simply means many-breasted one. The man with many breasts. The one with many breasts. After feeding from one, you are about to get to a bottom of it. Another one. Then you go to another one. Then you keep on going to another one. Another one. When you finish this one, that one is filling up. So he is more than enough. That's why we call him more than enough. I don't know if you're getting it. Eric Abayim Haviara Chumim. That word I normally throw out there. It means the many nostrilled one. The many with many nostrils. If you mess up, he just goes, sighs with his nostrils and with his mouth. So it's like somebody who wants to beat you and just go. You lose all sense of anger. You're like, it's okay. Remember God in rage, got angry at Israel. I will do this to Israel. I will do this to Israel. I will do this. Are you hearing me? He says, I will do this to Israel. I will do this to Israel. Then he says, goes to the bottom or to the end of the chapter. He says, how can I let go of you, Ephraim? Were you not saying I'm about to kill everyone? So why is he changing? Go to the book of Hosea when he's angry. The raging prophet. Look at Amos. Look at all these ways. It's like, I'll kill Israel. I'll kill. At the end of the chapter, say, I will leave a remnant. God is now, God's love now has caught him. In the midst of anger, love came in and consoled and calmed him. Same thing with Eric Avera Chumim. Means the many nostrils. He will say, then when you mess up, he has another nostril to side with. So he keeps on forgiving because the nostrils are many. That's what it means. So, it's not something you ought to be asking for forgiveness. You take forgiveness. Did I say there is no repentance? No, there is repentance. You ought to. When you have a problem, confess it. Say it to yourself. Acknowledge it. But the main meaning is say the same thing God says about that sin. So, you're conscious. But now, here is my last thing. Are you hearing this? 1 John 1:9. Kylo means that someone was like, oh, we finished. No. Relax.
If
you
we
have no money in your house, no food, everything is messed up. Where are you going? You are even at home now. Relax. If we confess our sins,
He is faithful and just.
Now, forget about your confession after you're repenting. Let's work with what God is able to do. He is able to do what? He is faithful
and just.
That's his part. So God is saying, don't worry about your part. Worry about mine. No, he says, don't worry about mine too. Because I am faithful and just. So the word faithful there is not the word faith, you know. You know, you can be faithful and not have faith. Oh. The doctor gives you medication and says, go twice a day. Okay? Twice a day. Okay. You take it twice a day. Go home. Take it. Morning, evening. Morning, evening. It doesn't mean say you believe what the doctor said. You've even taken pills. They're useless. They just gave me these pills. I just take them. That's why these hospitals are useless. Did you get pills? Yes, but they don't work. Every day you'll be taking them. That means you have no faith in the medication, but you are faithful to take it. So we have a lot of people who are faithful. They are there every Sunday. When church is open, when we started TAPE, they are there at 7 a.m. They are already going there. You know they are not serious guys, eh? But not one single iota of faith. Even a small pain like this, man of God, I think it's cancer. Hey. What's wrong with you? Did the doctor say it's cancer? No. I just, the feeling I have. Look at when they said there was COVID. Flu symptoms. Last year when you had those symptoms, you said it's flu. You took lemon, and that was it. Lemon, and when it's like, ah, it's a flu, it took a part after a few days, it's gone. It's lemon. Nah, no problem. Lemsip. Lemsip is even when things have got deeper now. When flu has gone deeper. This one, be like, it's okay, it's just flu. It's not, it's nothing, it'll pass. You know flu is every year now. The day they said, if you feel like you're coughing, and your chest is tight like this. Last year's symptoms for flu became this year's symptoms for COVID. Immediately you were COVID patient. How many calls did you receive during COVID? People called. Men of God, I have COVID. Did you go to the hospital? No. Have you ever seen patients who stand in front of a doctor like this? I know. I don't need x-ray. I don't need anything. I know this is cancer. Hey! The doctor is like, did you get tested? No. I just know it. It's obvious. What can it be? Diagnosis. So they can take any medication they want, but they will never believe what you are saying. They already know. People in church, I will be moving like this, and I say, woman, come here. God is ministering. Man of God, deliver me. There is a demon from my family. So you know where it's coming from. The world is gone crazy. Look at Bill Gates. A man who couldn't even provide a solution for Windows 95 virus. Now he's fixing viruses. The creator of the panic is now the provider of the pill. No medical degree in sight. Nothing. Let a man of God who is a prophet begin to elucidate. Begin to show their sagacity when it comes to these things. As the Lord has given, they'll say, no, block him on Twitter. So you are blocking me because I'm a man of God and I don't have a degree in medicine. But Bill Gates has no degree in medicine. And yet he's providing vaccine. You realize it's gone crazy. So people can be faithful, but not have faith. Lack of faith. They'll just be like, I don't know. Man of God, should I say, write a will? Why are you writing will? I'm just coughing. And my chest is tight. And I've got a sore throat. I think it's flu. Don't you think it's flu? No, it's COVID. Let me give you again so that you are happy. Do you know the chances of you dying of COVID are the same chances? This is statistics. Okay? Are the same, the probability of you dying of COVID, same level with you dying from a motorbike accident on your way to work. You know, nobody ever thought of a motorbike. Because you don't even have a motorbike yourself. When last did you see a motorbike? Nobody. Nobody saw a motorbike. You know, this week, just remember, this week, do you see any motorbike? This week, not even a police one. Okay, do you know any of your relatives who died of a motorbike? No wonder you don't know anyone who died from corona. You just heard someone said, I think it was a relative, I think they died of corona, this disease that are now here. Even the death certificate is written corona related. COVID related, nothing actual. And you still think you are the one next. You are faithful to that symptom. Faithful to that information. But you have no faith. So faithfulness doesn't mean say you have faith. So the Bible, when it says God is faithful, it means he sticks to the prescription. Stickability to the prescription. He is able to stick to what he says he will do. He is faithful enough to forgive. What is he saying? Why is he so sure he's faithful? Why? Maybe you were listening. I'm waiting for the answer from you now. Why is he faithful that it will happen? Why? Because he provided forgiveness. So you know forgiveness is there. So there's nothing. If you just do this, forgiveness is right there. So it's not thinking, I will weigh what kind of, have you done it seriously? Oh, yeah. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, right?
Yes, sir. And just to forgive us
and
our
Dikaios,
sins.
He's observing divine laws. That's the word Dikaios. If you read it, just open. Just open that in the Greek.
Dikaios. Mm-hmm. It means in injustice of a judge, mm-hmm. righteousness of heart and life, mm-hmm. a deed violating.
He's faithful and just. The word just. Mm. Dikaios,
yes,
righteous, observing divine laws.
Yes,
in wide sense, upright, righteous, vicious, mm-hmm. virtuous, are keeping the commands of God.
Yeah.
What is number one saying?
Righteous, observing divine laws.
Observing divine laws. So it says, for God would observe divine laws. Are the laws given on the day you did so, you do something? No, they are set in motion. So when you acknowledge it, when you homologia, you say what God says about the sin you just committed. What happens? There are divine laws that are already available. It's not God coming from heaven. No. Or God sending forgiveness. Or God listening to your forgiveness, your repentance. No. It's a divine law set in motion. Sometimes I just wish I could just open your brain and put the revelation in there. And be like, bye. I'm telling you. Just come on, seven. Like, yeah, we are here. Open your brain now. Here. Okay, bye. Let's go sing. I'm telling you. Just imagine that there are divine laws. Set in motion. If you take a weed to Washington DC, like I said, you don't need to be thinking, is there a law first before I smoke? Let me just read the law. No, you already know what the law is. No one is going to arrest you in that place. Because it's flowing. It's not even in the law. It's not against the law because there is no law for it. So nobody's going to stop you like, what are you smoking? No, it's okay. Same thing with forgiveness. When you confess, you repent. All you got to understand is have the knowledge that there is definitely forgiveness for me. And there is a biblical law. It's there that is written somewhere. Biblical principle that if I just do this, agree with what God says about my sin, I will get this because there is an observation of law. Let's go. Isn't it amazing?
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I want you to go to the word cleanse. It is the word what?
Katarizo.
What does it mean?
To make clean.
Mm-hmm.
To cleanse from physical stains and dirt,
mm-hmm.
utensils, food, a leper. To cleanse by curing.
Now, if you go to 4, what does 4 say?
For to consecrate by cleansing or purifying.
That means talking about the mental ascent. Do you understand this? What is this saying? It's saying, read the whole scripture, one by one by one. So I see it.
Yes, mm-hmm. So if we confess our sins.
If we homologize our sin, now this is it.
He is faithful and just.
He is the God that sticks to the prescription. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yes, sir. And just to forgive us our sins.
And he will cleanse us. All right. So there is a divine law already. So he says, if we homologio, if we say the same thing he says about us,
mm-hmm.
about our sin, and we acknowledge that sin, and then say what God has done to our sin, which is remission of sins, then he is faithful. They are observational laws, laws that have been observed already, that are already in motion for you if you do that, for you to be cleansed from your mind. Oh, so the soul is the one that pictures that you are a sinner. So every time you sin, you deaden your self-portrait. Have you noticed that when we say to people, go and ask God for this, people will say, I know God is not listening to me, but I know you are a prophet, so ask your God on my behalf. Because I know God will hear you more. Like, okay, do I have a loudspeaker or something? Like a mobile phone, I just go like, hello, let's talk. No. It's their mindsets. And some people who are so good with God and they are really Christians, when they mess up and they sin, even you, when you sin, you are even afraid to go before God and pray. You'll be like, yeesh. What do I say when I go there? You won't give me. This is the reason why people look for preachers and prophets. I'm like, please, just say whatever God is going to do. I know God uses you. They are sure of it, eh? Because they know they have seen the 2-3 mistakes there. And they are thinking to go before God. Why? It has deadened their self-portrait. It has messed themselves up. Now they have messed themselves up now. They don't know how to arrive at God. So sin doesn't affect God. God dealt with it. He destroyed it on the cross. But what it does is it affects your self-portrait. How you see yourself. It has nothing to do with God. Oh my God. It has nothing to do with God. It is your self-portrait. How you take yourself. So when you see, the Bible says, boldly approach the throne of grace and obtain mercy for your time of need. Obtain mercy. Not ask. Obtain. You go there boldly. But it says go boldly. You're moving there with a spring in your step and just go and collect mercy. No, not ask for it. Collect it. But how do you go there? Boldly. Now, sin removes your boldness in your mind. Remember, you receive the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is the spirit of boldness. That's why I don't like people who pray for boldness. Because it's another level. I used to do that. Pray for boldness. Father, give me boldness. Give me boldness. Even in the Bible, the other apostles would even do that. Even Paul messed up sometimes. And pray for boldness. We pray for boldness. The spirit of the Holy Spirit is the spirit of boldness. So people have a problem when they say, when they hear me say Peter was wrong and Paul did wrong. They'll be like, no, these are big guys. How can you say that? I'm by no means saying they sinned. I'm saying there was an immaturity. The whole Bible is mature. It's maturing. It's from the Old Testament. It's growing like this. People are going to the New Testament. I'm moving to the New Testament until they get to another level. So if you look at some scriptures, you think they are contradicting. No, the same author arrived now at a mature conclusion than they were before. So it doesn't mean to say, that's what they're saying. I write to you children. I write to you old men. I write to you fathers. What is he saying? He knows there are levels. He was there before. So he knows it. Are you getting it? That's why you find Peter being corrected. He was corrected. Said, I corrected him openly. In front of everyone. I did it openly there. Oh, landizigan on gredagiros. Ah, are you getting it? Yes, read it again.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. 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 I don't know if you understand. He is faithful to cleanse us from what?
From all unrighteousness.
Amen. Matthew 18:15. So you understand.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone.
Okay. Don't go on TV.
Come on.
Okay. I think we... then we do what later on?
If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother.
Yeah. Hey, don't do nothing. Just call the guy. Like, look, I've ought against you this. Ah, no, it's not exactly like that. Ah, okay. So, my brother, it's okay. Now, this culture we have now, especially Nigeria, is getting lost not in the church side of it, in pastors just going on YouTube, fighting pastors. Like, come on. Nigeria is now the biggest population of Christians in one country. One of the biggest populations, I'm telling you now. Wow. Yes, you've got America, they say they are Christian. I'm talking about practicing here. Yeah. A big difference. And the biggest single congregation, Nigeria. Wow. That's why you find their people gathering together, banded together to oppose generals. Why? Because people don't want to read those scriptures. That guy is your brother. So, but he's not my brother. Bible says it, even the people outside the world, love them. It says love everybody, especially those in the house of God. Alright? And that's exactly how it works. So repentance is not what you think it is. But this is just part one, and it was just introduction. I want to pray for you. That problem you were experiencing in the name of Jesus, that sin you thought you had, or that mistake you had, I speak now the repentance of from that sin in the name of Jesus. That you rush to another level and repent from your sin. But how do you repent? Confess it. But how do you confess? Homologio. Say the same thing God says about that sin. Acknowledge you are wrong. Acknowledge it before God. Acknowledge it right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to do it. Begin to do it. Begin to do it. He's hearing you right now. And he's faithful enough to forgive you. Now, right now, right now. It is the time to forgive. It is the time to repent. And it is the time to take forgiveness. Take it. Don't just ask for it. Take it in the name of Jesus. It's already provided for in the name of Jesus. La bojeta goza trandegalit. Me krevina kala dosia pak tarasak. Rekamandozi le jokranda balandes. Prondagila gano onkreda hisataita. Paronza tele. Be serious about it. Be serious about it. Do it right now. Do it right now. Ma kabalonzita. Parozon kreganon bele. Manzuji dena kar konendre en kaba. Paronon zapala zite bredo guzias. Sejo mancranom. Mendo zapalo da zute atale. Preda kizon kroda kira nanso. Manjute balon. Keragona mahandes. Irandiga ba anger. Kela mangra guzia goes. Zijatopa. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. So, those who are watching me right now, do this every day. You see, sometimes it's good to incorporate it in your prayer, where you say, I acknowledge that there is remission of my sins. Every time you pray, sometimes it's good. I'm by no means saying confess every day, but this confession you are doing is the homologio part. Inside your prayer, you just say, Father, I thank you that you provided for my finances. Everything that I need is met for this year. Thank you. You are speaking in faith. Catapulting yourself into the future. By your own words. See, words are so important. Listen, words break families. Words break politicians. See, you speak those words to yourself. This, 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 this. As you speak it, what happens? Guess what? It's your prayer. But you don't end it before you say, and I thank you for the remission of sins. Now that mistake you did is already covered. And I take forgiveness. I take it. For you provided repentance. I take it. I'm not begging for it. I'm not asking. Okay, right now if you say you've prayed, you've asked for forgiveness, when do you receive forgiveness? How do you know? How do you know after saying amen, you received forgiveness? I don't know if you're getting this. Are you getting it? Because I just saw it as a... Sometimes we say these things and then we don't really get to a point where we understand them. It's like we just, you know? I was like, let me just do this. Acts 26:18, right? Just quickly do that, quickly. Quickly, quickly.
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins.
Now watch this. Forgiveness of sins. And receive it. Yes. Katalambano it. Take it.
And inheritance among them which are so sanctified.
How do we
by
get
faith.
Inheritance from God? How do we get inheritance from God? It says when we are born again, we have already inherited. Now, if inheritance and forgiveness came together, the same way we get inheritance is the same way we get forgiveness. They came together as a package in salvation. It's not something we are getting from somewhere. Inheritance and forgiveness came the same time Jesus died on the cross. It was already given. It's part and parcel of who we are. We have it. Now, you never go and say every evening, Father, I confess my inheritance. I need it now. You never. You already know you have inheritance. This 7 verses telling you they all came together. but forgiveness, because some preacher has told you some lies. Yeah. And you are going with it. You and that preacher, be careful. You go to hell in a basket. Asking for what God has already provided. That's a slap on Jesus' face. Like, you're not so powerful. You didn't even provide anything. Now I'm doing it for myself now. Yeah. Every night when I ask for this forgiveness, that's when you give me, because I'm so good at asking. It's provided. Take it. Lambano it. Grab it as if by force. Don't worry about who says what. Take forgiveness. Every day, take it. It's yours. Right now, I want to thank you guys around the world for watching our programs and for being powerful enough and brave enough, rather, and mature enough to actually want to listen to a series called The Doctrine of Repentance. It's not an easy thing. If we called it How to Get Your Money, Part 1. Ah! it will be dangerous, trust me. The whole to break the internet. Yeah, how to get your miracle now. Ah, get rich quick now. God's way. Ah, you will be rushing. I'm telling you. Or deliverance from all forms of lack. Hey! Deliverance from the demon of lack of money. Immediately you diagnose yourself like, look at my account. This is a demon of money. I need to be fixing this thing now. Whereas the demon of money is even afraid of you. If you notice, the Bible says the devil, your thinking is human. Meaning to say, even the number 66 is the what? The number of men. I know when people think this means it's a man, it's a human number. Yeah, that's another side of it. But imagine every man sins when he's drawn from his by his own lusts. That means the lusts are in men before the devil lowers them. That's what the Bible says. They say, when we get to heaven, God shall show us the devil. Watch these words. And he shall be so shocked. He shall say, we shall squint our eyes, narrowly look upon the devil, and say, is this the thing that made the nations tremble? No, I replaced the real word. I didn't say thing. Let me repeat. Is this the man? Bible calls the devil the man. You are more evil than men, than the devil. The devil was a worshiper, worship leader. That's it. That's why I told you there are other angels that fell with the devil that are more powerful than the devil, that can beat the devil by slap like this. Why? If the devil could be beaten by Michael, what were you thinking? Michael is an angel. If the devil could be beaten by... Michael is an army guy. The devil was just a singer. He has no weapons anyway. He's just here knowing exactly his time is short. He can use your power against you. Just like all these messiahs. Anyway, that's Listen to me. I want to get into our offering time. It is also good that every time we minister the word, you give your tithe, your offering, your partnership, your sacrificial seeds. And I understand when we are in a place like we are in right now in these perilous times, so many people feel the need to, like, it's not church as usual, you know, because it's internet. That doesn't change the principles of God. It doesn't. We still need to tithe. We still need to give our offerings. And remember, if you tithe because you saw angel in a service, it means angel is your God. Because nothing should ever change you if you're doing it for God. But if you're doing for me to see you, my wife to see you, Pastor Ronnie to see you, Evangelist Liz to see you, all these Pastor Felix to see you, all these pastors around the world, for the ECR to see you in front, I'm like, oh, I'm moving with my tithing. Then you never tithe. You are a sinner. Get to a point where it's the principles of Christ that you do because you're a Christian, not because angels said it. So let's go and give right now. www.goodnewsworld.com. It's right there on your screens. Just go and give right now. Go and give right now. And we want to thank you, everyone who is giving right now. People are giving right now. People are giving right now and they're doing it right now. And then now the names we just read are just some of those names. It's not like we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people giving. But we just read the names that of people who want to be like, I've done it, you know.
I have Janet saying offering and tithe done. Lorraine Freeman is saying done. Sarah is saying done.
So a lot of people are doing it. They're doing it. They're doing it.
Done. Evalada done.
And I want to thank you. In fact, today we're actually in another location. I don't remember the actual place. Plumtree. Plumtree is near which country? That's near Botswana. Okay, Malawi is not a country. But anyway, Plumtree is near what? Botswana. Near Botswana, and thousands of families are being fed and distributing foodstuffs. Last week we were in another location. So you're gonna. The reason why we post these photos is not so that people be like, oh wow, you are dangerous. No. We're doing it for one purpose. Our partners around the world, you guys that are giving, ought to see who you are affecting and to hear them actually appreciating the things that you guys are doing. That's why you don't find me or my wife on the field distributing, carrying bags. It's brilliant also to do that, to carry bags. But what we didn't want to do was to show our faces there and put that thing in like, oh, I'm here, look at me. You know, that kind of thing. And right, while we are at it, you have people who say, oh, the Bible says when you give alms to the Lord, you know, let your left hand or your right hand not see what is in the other hand. Tell me, how are they giving cattle to God? What kind of cow fits in there? That's not what they're trying to say. They're trying to tell you, let it be of the heart you're giving. It's not saying let it not be done publicly. Do you know the same verse also tells you that when you pray, don't pray in public. So, the same person who is opposing you for giving publicly is on TV praying publicly. You wonder, did they read the scripture? They choose what they want to choose. Same scripture is the one that says don't pray publicly. And the guy is praying publicly, opposing people who are giving publicly. Him and the person who is giving publicly are the same blanket, same WhatsApp group. In fact, same Atom Core group.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, like honestly, all that does, how then do we teach others to give if it's not a... We need to live that life. And people need to see us live that life. That we're doing, giving to these people, giving to the less privileged. And if we wanted to be showing off, you could do it once or twice. Now we are doing it every week. Every week we are giving. It's a culture now. It's exactly what we do. We're given to it. And it's not because we are brilliant, we are better than others. No, we have people like you that are actually giving it. And we're going to do it on Monday, tomorrow. See, tomorrow night. Missions Week tomorrow night. And we're doing it because we want to increase our giving out there so that it can really, really affect a change in all these places in America, Australia, Southern Africa, Zambia, South Africa, Botswana, Namibia, Zimbabwe, all these places. Now we have Uganda, now we have Ghana, now we have Ghana, we have Tanzania, we have Angola. We've increased a lot of, I believe Togo is there as well. We've increased a lot of branches during this. In fact, we grew bigger during this lockdown than any other time. So a lot is taking place. So we want to go to those areas by your giving. So it's very, very important that you actually do it. And we don't have like UBN Angel Foundation partners only. No, you're giving right now, which is an offering. Your tithing, your seeding, your sacrificial seeds, your partnership, all these TV people who are less privileged, that have been affected by this COVID debacle, all those people are benefiting from us. And we want to get into a level of giving to pastors who are actually affected by this, because some pastors were just waiting for offering. And I don't blame them. The Bible says you can't muzzle an ox that is on the threshing floor. So it is really, really, the Bible says, he that does a good work among you should be worth of a double pay. So I know they're supposed to be paid by the church, but the church is not meeting, so they don't have it. And most pastors have not gone digital. You know, they were still, I'm going to church and physically there. Now, some of us had built a whole array of channels by which to minister to people. Way before this COVID, God had already told us where the church was going. So we're very active and we're still active and we're going to be more active. All right? All right? So it's important that you know you guys are making it happen for us. And we are giving the world what is needed. And the less privileged are benefiting because of you. So it's not just a seed. It's not just your offering. It's also your tithe. Everything that you are giving right now that we use. We are using real money. It's not some fake money we are using. We're using your money to do what we are doing. And by showing it, we want you to be proud that look at what I'm doing. People talking and just people saying, we didn't even know what to do. But you guys came through for us. Because in Africa, sometimes it's like outside there is COVID. Inside there is poverty. So you don't know what to do. Do you stay inside? You won't eat. If you go out, COVID is there. So what do you do? So the best thing is if the governments are forcing people to be inside their houses, guess what? We meet them in their houses and provide for the food that they so need. So I saw some people, last week we had a political party, a whole political party claiming it's the one that gave. Yeah. And they had even our bags on their platforms. Written, you've been Angel Foundation. So you get to be politicized. This happens. These things take place. So don't ever think it's us who said, oh yeah, we're giving you, just say it's you. Nope. We have no political ambition. Not one. In fact, as a prophet, my position is higher than any politician. Yes. Why? Why did I say that? Because a politician is voted out every 4 years if they don't rig elections. Now, and I don't need that. I don't have that burden. I'm a prophet when you are president. I'm a prophet when you're not president. I'm a prophet when you're not a minister. I'm a prophet when you're a minister. I've been a prophet for a long time. I don't get voted in. So I don't have the burden to try and campaign using some foodstuffs. Our church has been growing and growing. If you notice, we're not even giving our church members. We gave our church members, right? We gave our church members, we took food to our church members. So we're doing it secretly with our church members now. We started doing it openly so that other branches can see, oh, that's what's happening. And we wanted to alert other branches that they arrange spots where we could do this. So we're giving to church members. Our own church members are fed. Our pastors also, we're sending some monies once in a while. We're sending monies to alleviate, to help them and stuff like that. I think we're doing it like every 2 months. We do something in this region, in this region, in this region, in this region, just to help our pastors that might have been affected by that as well. Because it happens. People get affected. Some, our pastors know business and they've been taught how to do business. But some fail to have their business to really shoot up. So we kind of help them. But now we want to go to pastors that don't belong to our ministry. They're just out there with their own churches and stuff like that. Because the Lord is coming very, very soon. It looks like it's a mantra we have to say as Christians. But if you ever watched Perilous Times, that series, you would understand what we are talking about. Or what shall happen just before Jesus. What you will see just before Jesus comes. And you understand that there is no more sign left for the rapture to take place. All the signs are done. So don't think, you don't hear people say there is a temple that should be built. It's a lie. We're talking about the second coming for that one. And notice, China, they are now building hotels in 4 days. Like we're talking about over 20 floors in 4 days. Check it on the internet. Just say, hotel in 3 days in China. And you see it like, what? With balconies, with everything. Done. So you think, if that was the sign that was left to you, think Israel, that has got the biggest technology base on earth, could not do it in 2 days to build that temple? It doesn't have upstairs, by the way. That temple. Listen to me. It's so easy. And yet, the temple is not even a sign. It's coming for the second. So, anytime it can take place. And you guys have the results. You are proof-producing Christians. Around the world, they're seeing your worth. they're seeing it as we post people saying we, and we thank our partners, everyone, Pastor Felix and the team, they'll be thanking partners. We thank our partners for doing this. And even the people are told about our partners, you guys that are giving, they're told you guys have done it. So when you pray, imagine going before God, knowing exactly that you have a portrait of a giver. You are the one who is causing that change. And the videos are there. And I told you, take those videos, put there and say, this is my, the result of my giving. Because you're the ones giving. Just the ones we lead that thing. Remember, like I said before, this vision that was given to me is not just for me. It's also for you. All right? It's also for you. It's just that I received the vision. You were not there. But the vision I received is also your vision. But you did not hear it. You heard it from me. So you're not helping me in my vision. You are actually in your vision that is connected to my vision because we have the same vision. So your eon and my eon are connected. They are intersecting. So God is with you too. I want to pray for your seed and your giving and your offering. Father, thank you for this offering. Thank you for their seeding. Thank you for their partnership and their tithe. Thank you, Father, that it is used for the purpose you sent us to use it. And that the world is being blessed by them. That their giving has improved. And it's gotten to another level now. Father, increase them mightily so that they lack no good thing in their lives. As they take care of God's business, they should be taken care of. Father, thank you that you are doing so and you have done so. For you have given us all things that pertain unto godliness and life. It is already here, just like forgiveness is available for the taking. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you so, so much. Listen, you heard what I said. What God says is what He does. I am not out of good news. I'm just out of time. And remember, I believe in good news because I believe in God. Bibi and I are excited so much that you joined us today. And everyone here is excited that you're part and parcel of the good news world.